How can we step off the treadmill of busyness and discover true productivity? Where can we find space for our souls to breathe?
Welcome to the Unhurried Living Podcast. I'm Alan Fadling.
And I'm Jem Fadling. Many of us are hurried, and hurry is costing us more than we realize.
We invite you to join us in the life-giving patterns of Jesus so that you can enjoy more creative energy.
Together, we'll learn to rest deeper, live fuller, and lead better. Thanks for joining us today. Over the course of our first few episodes of the new year, we're sharing our answers to the poll question, what is the biggest challenge you face right now in living a more unhurried life? And this is the second podcast in that series.
Yeah, last week we talked about 9 practical challenges to living less hurried. So this week we're talking about dealing with workplace stress. And you know, your main workplace might be a corporate office, it might be a home office, a retail business, a classroom, maybe it's even your home like it is for us these days.
Yeah, the difference between this episode and last week's episode is fairly simple. Last week, we talked about challenges to unhurrying our lives that arise from within us.
Yep.
And this week, we're talking about challenges that arise from around us. So these challenges come from the expectations of others or the pattern of the culture in which we work and where we live.
Yeah. Well, so let's jump right into some of the comments we got along these lines in that survey.
All right. Well, number one is one person talked about the challenge of dealing with feelings of drivenness that have developed over the years of being in full-time pastoral ministry. It looks like pastors are not immune.
No, having been a pastor, I know we are not.
Yeah, so though this drivenness was shaped by expectations of others over the years, this person, they realize that the problem has taken up residence in them.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times the hurry that happens in our souls has taken shape. It's been formed in us as we've worked in hurried environments, and that hurried culture or that hurried setting sort of seeps into and begins to drive us inside. One of our mentors said that he sometimes wondered if the main message that a lot of people in ministry were hearing and therefore were communicating was some version of do better, do more. You know, do better, do more, do better, do more.
Yeah, it sounds right, but maybe not.
Yeah, well, the problem is, and he sort of called that, his nickname for that was do-do theology, D-O-D-O, and then another kind of do-do. But his point was that, you know, we argue about a vision of salvation that's entered into on the basis of grace, that we know that we are welcome in the kingdom of God because of the generosity of God and not because of our impressive performance. Or our good work. But the problem is, though, we seem to be rather clear that entering this life comes as a gift to us. When it comes to living that out, it often ends up being almost completely focused on what we're doing, whether we're doing better, whether we're doing more. And the problem is that eventually, do better, do more as an engine for our work finally runs out of gas.
Yeah, I think it was Dallas Willard. I think I made a meme on this once for Instagram or something. But there was a quote where he was talking about grace and believers. Do you remember that quote?
Yeah, that saints burn grace like a 747 burns jet fuel on takeoff.
Yeah, grace is definitely not just for our entrance.
Yeah, it's not just the door that gets us into this life, but grace really is the path on which we walk. We are constantly in our lives, but also especially, you know, on the theme of today, especially in our work, we are always responding to grace. And in what we do in our work, we are always expressing grace. You know, there's a line in Ephesians 2:10 talks about being God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works. Mm-hmm. And then what Paul says about those good works is that they've been prepared beforehand for us to walk in. There's a sense in which God has long ago thought about even this day, you know, the day that you and I right now are recording this podcast, or this day when you, the listener, are taking it in. This day, God gave thought to this day, and there were good things for us to engage in that He prepared well in advance. See, that's how work rooted in grace happens.
Right. That sounds like a different way of viewing work than the drivenness. I'm struck by the word drivenness in what this person shared. So I like what you've been talking about in reference to grace and how that might become an engine rather than whatever drivenness is producing.
Yeah.
So another comment we received talked about the stress of being able to finish responsibilities of work or ministry in the time that I have for it, or dealing with the stress of the work and life demands I feel that leads to feeling distracted and depleted.
Yeah, and for this one, I think it's always important for us to remember what Jesus says about the yoke of the work that He's entrusted to us. Remember that line in Matthew, it says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And that's not just talking about the responsibility of living as a Christian. I think we can use the language of a yoke that we would wear as a metaphor for the work that we do. If the yoke, if our work feels too hard and overly burdensome, we can be quite sure that something has been added to it. Maybe unreasonable human expectations, my own or others, has been added to it. Or maybe my own anxiety has made the yoke heavier, or my own over-responsibility.
Yeah, stress is unavoidable. It exists. So the question is, how might we cultivate an inner capacity to see stress in perspective? And we find that practicing the presence of God creates a buoyancy in us, a hopefulness, a resourcefulness that pushes back on the outward stresses that come our way. In even 1 minute, you can make your way to presence by simply taking a deep breath. Now, of course, that becomes easier if you also have rhythms of Sabbath and retreat in place. Stress is compounded when we think about the future or even into the next 5 minutes. I said to someone recently, "Why don't you try going no further into the future than the end of your nose?" And she laughed and we giggled about it. But it actually proves to be a helpful exercise in being where you are, because your nose is right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things then that makes the yoke of our work heavier is trying to take on the stuff I'm going to be doing in 10 minutes or an hour or tomorrow or next week or next month.
Yes.
And load that all onto today.
Right.
I mean, that's the wisdom of Jesus, right? He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. That's not just a nice little thing for, you know, to put on a coffee mug. That is actually a description of how reality works. Taking the burden of the future and dumping it on today makes today unnecessarily heavier.
Right.
And we don't have to do that. Jesus is smart enough to know it doesn't work and to encourage us not to do that.
Right.
You know, in my book, An Unhurried Leader, I shared a story about a little exercise that I've been doing now for a couple of years when I train leadership groups. What I'll do is I'll have this team of people take a blank piece of paper and just write a list of some of their work. Maybe it looks like a to-do list. Maybe it looks like the next few appointments on their calendar. Maybe it looks like lines from their job description. You know, however they want to do it. But basically, it's a list of the elements of their work. A lot of times when we do this, we're in a retreat setting, and I can see their faces beginning to get a little bit heavy or a little bit worried. And I'll even ask them, so as you write this list, you know, how are you feeling? And, you know, some people say, oh, privilege. I'm honored to do what I do. Or, you know, they'll say something, energized. But other people will say things like, oh, I feel anxious. I feel heavy. I feel overwhelmed. I feel inadequate, you know. So there are negative things that will sometimes come. And what I'll ask them is this list forcing you to feel anxious or overwhelmed? Or is it possible that it's your perspective about this list that's causing you to feel that way? And then to help them see that, what I then invite them to do is to go back to the top of the list, and at the end of each one of the lines, I asked them just to slowly and reflectively write two little words, with God. And so suddenly they're looking at, you know, have that hard meeting with a client, with God. Work on that mind-numbing monthly report, you know, with God. And what's amazing is to watch people's countenances lighten up a little bit and see them sort of snicker at themselves and realize, you know, this list of work didn't change one little bit. The only thing that changed when I wrote those two little words next to each and every little item was my perspective about the list. And that's part of what we're trying to talk about when we talk about unhurried as it relates to our work, as it relates to our leadership. What we do might not change very much, but who we are as we do it and our perspective as we do it, that can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, that's really key. And here's another comment that someone shared. I feel huge pressure for my supervisor to perform. It feels like a person's worth in my organization is measured only in terms of how busy they look and how many hours they spend at the office. And they said, that needs to change.
Mm.
And then another person talked about the pressure of dealing with so many emails and so much administration of details and so much time coordinating events that a focus on and time with people gets crowded out.
Yeah.
So when we work in a group of people, it's inevitable that there are going to be different understandings of what makes work productive.
Mm.
It's easy to assume that it's mostly measured in terms of arithmetic. Of course, more is better. Like you said at the beginning, do better, do more. Do
yeah.
better, do more.
Yeah.
But sometimes more busy is actually empty. More better is actually
yeah, that's actually what we want
better.
More of.
More of the better is better.
Right. Not just more activity, not just more looking busy, and not just more hours of me sitting in a chair in front of a desk in an office. There's nothing magic about those things in terms of producing good and even better results.
Right.
So what I'd like to say to any of us who happen to have the authority to supervise other people and to provide some guidance for other people in their work, I would encourage you to ask yourself, what actually are you measuring? Are you only measuring quantity, or are you also seeing the value and the goodness of measuring quality? And I think that question works in all kinds of arenas of work, whether you're working with people, you're helping people, you're producing some item, you're a person in sales trying to get your product out there into the hands of more people. There is a qualitative measure that can go right alongside the quantitative one. I think it's important for us to be asking both kinds of questions because both kinds of questions matter.
Yeah, and continuing on that theme, another person talked about this dynamic, and they said it this way. I'm in an organization that equates productivity with program and meetings rather than relationships and conversations.
Yeah, one of our mentors often said, you know, Jesus didn't come to die for programs.
Right.
Jesus didn't die for events that I plan. Jesus didn't die for budgets or buildings. Jesus didn't come and die for things. He came and died because of his love for us. The thing that I notice about myself, and I notice this in contexts where I have some authority and some direction about the way an organization's moving, as well as when I'm thinking about my own actual work, is that the more hurried I become, the more my ministry feels like it's about things instead of being about people. I find myself managing more schedules and more programs and more events and more budgets, and I'm doing more planning, and I'm just focused on all kinds of things such that, ironically, I might feel like people crossing my path are interrupting, you know, all this important work I'm doing. You never get the sense that Jesus doesn't have time for people because he's going to, you know, speak at this big event at the next city. You have this profound sense that he is always available for the people that cross our path. So whether you are giving direction to a team of people doing work or whether you're just thinking about your own work, I think one of the questions we can ask ourselves is, how might I have an eye for the very people I'm here to serve? You know, whatever my work is, somehow that work benefits people. How can I make that just a little bit more intentional? How can I allow myself to be just a little more awake to the people? Not only the people I plan to meet, you know, they're in my calendar for a lunch appointment or an afternoon coffee or an office visit or whatever, but maybe even more so the people I'm going to just happen to come across in the flow of a day. Those people are not there by accident. And many times they might be the most important opportunity of ministry I'll have all day.
Yeah, and even as specific as this podcast, you know, we sit down here, and again, we've said this before, there's the two of us in this library with microphones between our faces.
Yeah.
And it can feel, you know, a
like
little
this
sterile.
Podcast is about mics and mixers and getting all the distractions away and dealing with noises that happen outside and thing.
It's all thing stuff. But very often, Alan, you will say before we start speaking is, why don't we just take a minute and pray? Of course, we do that. But we also stop and think a minute about who would be listening.
We think about you all. And we just give thanks for the opportunity when this finally airs for you to listen in ways we hope, anyway, that this will be of encouragement to you and help.
Yeah, and we've been excited. I think right now we're at about 1,000 downloads a week. So we don't know if there's actually 1,000 of you listening, but if so, we take time every time we record to, even if we don't know you, we think about you and we pray that what we are saying would help you. And that is a way to sort of humanize or peopleize a task that looks very much like pushing buttons and putting microphones up and talking into the air. But we are doing this not for all that. We're doing this because we want to help you. And so taking even what may seem like a mundane or some kind of thing.
Lots of detail-y stuff.
Detail-y stuff that you're doing and try to figure out where are the people in relation to what you're doing and let your heart go there. It can change how you do what you do.
Yeah, and maybe another way to say this is, you know, the great commandment is not just true for our spiritual lives, whatever a spiritual life is. The great commandment is just for our life, including our life of work. What would it look like for my work to be done from the engine of caring about people? And how could what I do and how I do it be a better reflection of the kind of love that is patient and kind and humble and gentle? This would actually produce better work. Work that matters more, not only to me. I think it would matter more to those to whom we're accountable. I think it would matter more to those we serve.
Yeah, I agree. So on to another comment here. We had a number of people share comments about the challenge of other people's demands and expectations, which is sort of an echo of what we've just talked about.
Yeah,
we heard it from ministry leaders talking about the people they serve, and we heard it from those whose work in business talking about their supervisors. So this sounds like it's coming from both directions, just expectations in general. They're getting it from the people. They're getting it from their superiors. What do they do?
Yeah, well, obviously, this is a pretty real issue. We can't ignore the dynamic of other people having expectations. I mean, we'd like to, but it tends to register for us. What we have to ask ourselves, I think, maybe is this. Is it actually true that ultimately, as the scriptures have often said, it really is the Lord that we're serving in our work? That doesn't mean we blow off our boss or we ignore the direction or the guidance or the expectations even of someone who supervises us. But what it means is that our ultimate accountability, our first accountability is to God for the work we do. And that's true whether or not our work happens in what we see as a faith environment or not. You know, I don't have to be on the staff of a church. I don't have to be a part of a ministry nonprofit to see my work as something I'm doing as an expression of my trust in God, as an expression of my love for God. And so working for God, wherever it is that we do our work, it doesn't lower our standards. In fact, working for God as the focus of what I do actually frees us to serve the actual good of people under whom we serve, alongside whom we serve, and for whom we serve. And so this vision of our work as something we're doing with God will raise the level of our creative engagement. It will raise the level of our intentionality. It'll raise our sense of purpose and meaning in what we do, especially if some of the things we do at times tempt us to feel like they're meaningless. Oh, you know, I'm sick and tired of this mundane, meaningless, you know, answering 117 emails, you know. Oh, I think I'm just, you know, shoot me in the head. I mean, I just feel like it's meaningless. But suddenly when you're doing these things with God, you see all of those, even the little mundane things, through very different eyes.
Yeah, the thing about productivity is that it's very hard to seek productivity first.
Yeah.
It's like the spirit of something Jesus said to the crowd one time. He said, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, at the time, he was talking to people who worried about having, you know, enough food to eat or clothes to wear.
Sure.
But he'd say the same thing to us, I think, about our worries about productivity. If you seek productivity first, you either won't find it or it will cost you your soul if you do. Jesus says to seek first God's kingdom. This is a really sincere invitation that we can say yes to.
Mm.
So another comment that someone responded with is, I feel like I do a little work on tons of different and unrelated items so that I don't feel like I spend enough time working on what really matters.
Yeah, probably a lot of us can identify with this one, the feeling like there's 107, you know, like I said, things on my list. And this is where I think we have to decide what it is that really matters in my work. What is actually most important? You know, have I thought about that? Because all of the things on my to-do list are not equally important. You know, some of them, actually, if they didn't get done, the earth might continue to spin on its axis, and your business or your ministry or your work might go forward just fine. So it's the question of determining what matters. And I think it helps then to do what you can to make sure you have some unbroken time, at least once a week, to actually step back from your work and focus on what you do. What in all of this actually matters? What matters to me? What matters to my company, my ministry? What matters to God in this unique piece of work that I've been entrusted with? So I found that being omnipresent to email and to social media is distracting. In fact, I think continually checking my phone or continually looking on my computer is actually training me in distraction. So on my best days, what I find is that I try to limit my interaction with these things to certain windows during the day. I try to let my email, for example, rest in the evenings. And the reason I think that we feel distracted and focused is because of this dynamic that we are actually training ourselves to be distracted and unfocused by the way we use technology that, you know, is a great gift to us, but it can also create a great challenge for us.
Yeah, I think it's hard too for people like us. We have a nonprofit and we are, in a way, we're kind of entrepreneurs, and our time, all of our time is our own. I mean, we have all these things to do and there is no boss. We're the boss. And so structure and prioritization becomes really important. And over the course of this last year, I think both of us have come to find this, even though we're different people, we both found that working in the morning on the things that require creative or critical thinking works well for us. So sometimes it's good to just say, you know what, I'm not going to look at email until 1 o'clock. No one's going to die if I don't check email till after lunch. And then the morning, you don't have to get distracted. You don't have to hear a bunch of other people saying what they need you or want you to do. You could have just decided, for example, if we're writing a book like we are, or if we're trying to create something, some resource, that morning is spent on focusing on that. Now, I know not everyone has sort of the entrepreneur's freedom.
Sure.
Which is kind of a blessing and a curse, right? I mean, to have to have to come up with your own structure. But if you have any level of freedom in how your work gets done during the day, it might be good to figure out when your brain is fresh.
Yeah, and maybe one way to say it is you probably have a little more freedom than you think. Sometimes we limit ourselves in the way that we do, and we create unnecessary have-tos. So I think that's important to realize.
Yes. And now on the final comment, we had many people sharing some form of, I just have too much on my plate at work.
Yeah. Well, when you have a lot to do, it might help to ask whether or not I can do my work without anxiety. Is that possible? Might I do better work if I were a bit less anxious? You know, I think it was Dallas Willard who once said, you know, anything you can do in anxiety, you can do a whole lot better in peace. I think we need to let that sink in a little bit. I've had to wrestle with whether or not my anxiety was an asset or a liability. I've been tempted sometimes to think my anxiety is an asset. You know, it gets me moving, proves I care. I've had to assess whether that's true. And you know, if Jesus is right, I'm not on that front. You know, my anxiety is most certainly a liability. And so being anxious about all the things on my to-do list is not helping me either, one, get my to-do list done, or doing what's on it well. So I think that's really, really important. Even if there are 50 things on my to-do list, you know, I can only do one thing at a time. And doing it from a place of peace is where I'll do it best.
Yeah, and another way to ask this might be, do you think it's possible to do all of your work in your work culture, but with a peaceful heart?
Mm.
Even with an overwhelming to-do list, what is possible within you, inside of you?
Mm.
And we don't know your specific workplace issues, but this question, I think, is worth spending a little time with.
Yeah.
Is it possible to do this too much work from a peaceful heart?
Well, so I hope that some of these thoughts, you know, have been helpful to you all. We know that all of this can be a great challenge. We live in the real world too. But we offer you this episode along with a prayer that you will somehow discover the genius of Jesus' unhurried way of life and work right where you find yourself living and working. And if this theme of dealing with workplace stress has sort of hit home for you and you'd like to find a little bit more help, one of the resources we've produced, I think, really would fit here. Specifically, we created an online course called Encountering God in Scripture. It's a collection of little 5, 6, 7 minute meditations on a particular psalm. And I think that you could use them as a way to start a busy day. You could use these as a way to take a break in the midst of a busy day, maybe driving from one appointment to the next, or sometime just before or after your lunch break, or maybe a way to bring closure to your workday as you go back home. I've been using these kinds of meditations for a long time, and it's a way to just create a spacious reflection on the simple but rich truths of some of the Psalms. The way they will help you is that it will help you connect personally with God in Scripture. It'll help you with practices that enable you to experience God's presence more deeply. I think you'll find that they enable you to receive peace and not just to learn about peace, you know, or to do a word study about peace, but
right,
to actually have peace of heart and peace of mind. So this online course, I think, can help you. The Bible says about itself that it is living and active. But the question becomes, how might that become real and active for us personally? How might we welcome the Scriptures to be alive and to be at work within us? So I hope you'll take a moment and go visit learn.unhurriedliving.com and enroll in Encountering God in Scripture. Again, that's learn.unhurriedliving.com.
And as always, we're here to help you learn to rest deeper, live fuller, and lead better.